Hi, it's Jesse, the founder of MaxFun, coming to you from the microphone at my home office where I am socially segregating. So we promised you a MaxFun drive this week, but things haven't exactly gone how we expected. So given the pandemic, we're going to postpone this year's drive. Events are still fluid, so we're hesitant to give you specifics about new dates. Right now, we have late April penciled into our calendars. We'll keep you posted about that. As it stands, a lot of our drive machinery was already cranked up. So for one thing, you might hear a reference or two to the drive in our shows, which might have been recorded before we made this decision. And here is some good news. There's a bunch of great bonus content available for all of our MaxFun members. If you're a member and you missed the email with instructions on how to listen, check your spam folder or log in at MaximumFun.org/manage. Also at MaximumFun.org/manage, you can change your membership if your circumstances have changed. We know this is a tough time for a lot of people, and we understand. You can also go to MaximumFun.org/join at any time if you'd like to become a member. During the next couple weeks, what would have been the drive, we're going to do our best to be extra available to you. We've got some streaming events planned, some social media stuff. We know a lot of folks are isolated right now, and we want to help provide comfort in the best ways that we know how. You can follow us on social media, and we'll let you know what's up. During this tough time, I have been feeling really grateful for my community of colleagues here at MaxFun and for you, the folks who make our work possible, goofy as that work may sometimes be. Stay safe out there. We're thinking of you.
Well, in the Story Break, the Writers' Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals write an entire screenplay page by page, week by week, one scene at a time.
Six feet apart from each other.
At least 6 feet.
I cannot stress that enough. At least 6 feet apart from each other at all times.
Need room for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, is that what we're
like
calling COVID-19
now? Like my high school dances, 6 feet away from each other at all times.
That's just what the girls told you the rule was at your high school dances.
There was no rules against being away from each other. Wait, really?
Yeah. I thought we had to hold a pool cue between these when we listened to Don't Want to Close My Eyes.
I thought you had to scream, I'm walking over to you anytime you approach somebody, but I guess that's just what they told me to do. All right.
Oh, Matt.
Guys, this could be our last in-person recording for a while.
Because we could all die.
No, that's now
it's gonna be our last.
No.
It's gonna be our last recording from this world.
Terrible.
See you on the next.
I think we might be switching to remote records in the near future.
This is the voice of Freddie dreading the future here, which is going to be teaching Matt how to set his levels and not clip his shit, which is going to be a fruitless endeavor.
I
already
know. I'll be fine.
Will, looking at you.
I'm Shouty McShoutface over here. I feel like I'm probably the bigger liability.
You're going to learn in your self-imposed isolation how to ride your own levels, my friend.
Fortunately, I'm in isolation with my wife, so she's going to learn real quick to be the mix master while I'm recording
Story
Break.
When did you guys learn how to ride your own levels?
Back when I wasn't dancing with any girls in middle school.
Yeah, at school dances. That's where you like drank punch and played ping pong, right?
Yeah.
Have we introed ourselves?
I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold.
I'm the cool one.
Ooh, it's that loose energy.
Yeah, it's that loose apocalyptic energy that we got going on right now.
Just because it's on everyone's minds, we should talk a little bit about this. I had a call with my mom this weekend, and she was like, Freddie, you need to go buy water and all this stuff. I'm like, is the tap not going to work, Mom? She's like, but what about? I'm like, I'll just turn the tap on. She's like, what if the water? I'm like, I'll boil it. I have both of these things.
You know, the water can shut down.
If the water shuts down and I got to drink out of my toilet with my life straw, I'm set because I have a life straw.
No, but you only have so much water in
my toilet. You're right.
It's good
but
to
I have two
have
toilets.
Some water.
Yeah, you're supposed to have
everyone,
water.
Everyone, I mean, that's a California thing in particular.
Yeah, I have the requisite, like, oh, there's an earthquake. We need to have a 7-day emergency supply. But she was acting
2 weeks, but okay.
2 weeks? Is that what it is?
Good emergency package should be 2 weeks of water and food.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I have 1 week, and then that last 7 days, is I'm using my firearm to acquire American style the rest of my
AR-15?
Water.
The world is your emergency supply.
Freddy's like, everybody's a supermarket when I have my weapon. Little thing. Very good lesson, Freddy.
Will 5.56 suffice? Oh, boy, that's bad. Yep. I'm sorry. I'm kidding, of course.
I'm kidding, of course. I do have a weapon, and I will
use
it.
No, this is what I figured. I figured a weekend, worst case scenario, I'll just hop in my car and go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know.
And that's how the road wars began.
Do you guys have 2 weeks of water?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have 2 weeks of water.
Yeah, I mean, thanks. Like, you know, it's just.
I got a life straw. You know what life straw is, right?
Yeah,
any puddle becomes water for
me. Yeah, I know.
You can stick it into Gatorade and suck down, and it tastes just like water.
Mm-hmm. How much are life straws?
It's like $20, I think, on Amazon. It's definitely worth it.
So this is a podcast where three guys write a movie and not a podcast for half-assed disaster prep advice.
How are you going to survive Corona? Hear a story break.
Now, everyone
help you
wanted
out.
The thing that no one has gotten enough of in their daily life. All right. Let's dive in. Where were we last week?
Jin betrayed his brother and got Miss Wonderful to steal his brother's ketamine and then burn down his hospital.
Oh, and did a bunch of motorcycle jumps.
He did a bunch of motorcycle shit.
Let's take a break from the real world and pick up from this burning hospital.
Did you guys listen to the sound design of this last week one?
No, I haven't.
You should give it.
Oh, shit. Oh, listen to it. There's a little treat for my ride home.
It was one where I was cracking up multiple times through it just because of just how fucking stupid it was to just slowly mix in a giant stadium of cheers and motorcycles underneath piano music. It's really good.
By the way, the movie's Heaven Heist. It's about a crew of criminals robbing the celestial veil vault of heaven.
And I think this might be the week where we have to rob the celestial vault of heaven.
I think this is where we finally ding-dang do the damn thing. It's all lined up. Jin's pretty sure Freddy's going to pray to the gods tomorrow. I feel like in a second draft, you would like make that a little bit more explicit. Like you would probably do that like there's some sort of like day of prayer that they're around.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a Day of the Dead, but like you would do like something that he knows. Like
the Ghost Festival.
I would just do he knows his brother prays. Brother always prays at 7 a.m.
That's his
like thankful prayer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where they time the heist to. It's like then you do it when he wakes
up.
Well,
as we go forward, use your imagination and join along by pretending we did that. So basically, Jin has made his dark turn. We're now going to go into the heist.
Yes.
It feels like we know roughly the plan of how the heist is going to work.
Yeah.
Going forward is like the crew sneaks in. You know,
caterers.
They're sort of bifurcated into two teams, right?
Yeah.
Because you have like probably the heist team robbing the bank, robbing the Hell's Fargo wagon, and then you have the team infiltrating Sai Shen's, and then you know setting up the catering stuff. That's where they're going to do the handoff with the gold, and then they're going to dump it into the vault, right? That's the plan.
Yes, the two.
But that's a two section plan, isn't it?
Well, because I was going to say first... I want to throw a flag on the play just to
refs,
orient.
Let them play.
No,
let
just
them
to,
write. Refs.
Just to orient,
Freddy. It's step ourselves. Pass shoot, not step shoot. That's traveling.
If we treat
you've been
it...
story traveling, pass the ball.
It's not like an action scene. We can't just say like this week it's the heist. I think the heist is like six or seven scenes.
Well, yeah.
Like the heist is like not going
heists
to be.
Heists will go on as no. I'm not saying we're going
to
do the
no,
whole
no. I know.
Heist.
So,
I'm
but
not...
the way to think about it on a character. Level like each moment, like how are we even getting into the heist? Because I don't think the next moment is they're just in heaven right now. Like,
but again, I'm just trying to trying to do a bird's eye view here.
Okay, just try to orientate yourself.
Yeah, look, in terms of like the next sequence of the script, I'm not saying that we're gonna write all this week. That would be insane.
Yeah.
But in terms of the sequence of the script, the way I see it working is essentially they go in, they do the heist. I think you have something goes wrong at the bank, like the traffic cop lady that we planted forever ago and didn't do anything with makes them, or she gets into a car chase with them when they after they hijack the Hell's Fargo. Actually, that'd be kind of fun. You would do like that. They almost in the exact same type of like comical coincidence bump into her like they did at the beginning. So you have this chase. Right?
You see it rhymes.
Yeah. So it's like poetry. It rhymes. It's a little George Lucas reference from a little movie called.
And you know what? Everyone made fun of him for it, but I like those movies. So there. Oh shit! Let me put this can of worms down here.
That's not a can. Like no, they like. I feel like the prequels are like the new Speed Racer.
What I said wasn't the can of worms. What I'm holding is an entire writhing can of Worms, which is my opinions about the new movie. So I'm
putting
put those away. That's what I was saying. I was putting
down. I don't even think those are can of worms anymore. I think everybody's kind of
more careful you don't cut yourself on the edginess of that can of worms, like the, that edgy opinion you're holding over there. You know, just, you know,
it was boiling in hot water. Ow, hot takes.
Okay.
The rare triple metaphor. So they go, essentially what I'm picturing is this. You want it to feel like everything's going wrong, and then they pull it off by hook or by crook right until the prayer. And then the prayer happens, and it looks like they're just about to make out by the skin of their teeth, and then the prayer fucks it all up. And then they get caught and sent to hell.
So, yes, there's two halves of this plan. One half are the people that are stealing the stagecoach that's taking the money to the hellhole. So they're going to take that money, and then they're going to bring it to Tai Shen's. Yeah. So then Tai Shen's place is like the second part of the heist. One thing that we don't have a complication for that we definitely need to is on Earth with whiskey. You can't have whiskey just sitting there doing nothing.
Right.
It feels like you want like that element of like something's going wrong with whiskey.
he has
too much. Wonderful shows up.
He's pulling too much power into the building because of all the various like emergency equipment he's smuggled in there.
He can't bring them back out because he's like arrested or something. So all of them are laying there in a coma, and like he's got to get back. Like you want to have something like that Inception level, and you just want whiskey to have something going on as well.
Does whiskey get killed?
Does whiskey get killed? I mean, that's definitely the funniest turn in heaven. Is for whiskey.
They see him.
Talk about the last person you would want to see is whiskey.
That's true. That's a real complication.
I'm trying.
He electrocutes himself accidentally.
They're all running out after they've got all the money on their because they panic because it went wrong at the hole, right? So they're like, just take the money and run, and then we'll try to dump it somewhere else. We'll try to figure it out. We'll hide it or whatever.
You know what? He has to die because it doesn't make sense if they're in hell and he can bring them back.
That's true.
He has to be in there with them.
So basically, you just do like that moment where they're all running away, and then you do like they're hiding in a corner, and then whiskey's just next to them being like, guys, there's something really important, and he's like, not now, whiskey.
wait, I got it. Didn't he throw the bird away?
The bird comes back and kills him.
The bird's been gnawing on like the telephone lines or something because it's been hungry outside or whatever, and it just like cuts the electricity to the entire thing. He's like, oh no. In the kerfluffle, he just like falls and stabs himself.
I think the bird comes back like,
with 10 other birds.
What's the fucking phoenix in Harry Potter? I feel like the bird comes down in heaven and like pulls him out of a pit or something, like the phoenix in Harry Potter where they get pulled out and like the bird died. Okay, whiskey dying's very good because I do feel like there's nothing stronger than him over the tables of everybody, and then you hear a gunshot and he turns around and it's Miss Wonderful and he falls down dead, and then she's looking over
and
all
Miss Wonderful's like, yes, I killed the people who are about to steal a bunch of gold for me.
Well, she doesn't know what they're doing.
Or she's like, very good. And you see her hunk couch to come around the corner, and they're all wearing surgical masks, and they're all going to get their organs harvested by Miss Wonderful.
Yeah, or something. Like, she doesn't
know
what they're doing.
This ketamine's only the beginning. Your livers are mine next, boys. And then you're just like, whoa, what the fuck?
The real gold was in you.
That's definitely more. Like, you want.
Miss Wonderful's just eviscerating your guts.
Yeah, I agree. So here's the. Yeah, here's basically how do you do the dark slide, kick flip, ollie pivot from Miss Wonderful, you know, burning this hospital down to figuring out what they're up to and then having some reason to keep them from doing it and giving her a bunch of money.
No, because the easy one is she doesn't believe it's real.
Yeah, she doesn't believe. She doesn't know it.
They're just sitting around doing these flatliner bullshit, not getting me my money. Well, they got their money right there in their tum-tums, you know? And then because she doesn't believe it, and then she can go to hell in the end, and it's like a real comeuppance. Oh, it should be all of her man catch people go to hell with her, except one. Like, one guy's like, Phil? He's like, I guess I was the good one. And he's like just shirtless and walking into the gates. Everyone's like, damn, this good body.
He's just too hot.
He's just too hot. I mean, not this one. Oh, like an angel's like, ooh, not this one.
That
soul
is a devil, but that body is an angel.
I guess we could postpone that for a bit because maybe that won't happen right away.
Probably.
And figure out how we get into it. I feel like it's definitely stronger if she, I mean, because.
Yeah, she needs to come back. She needs to come back and cause problems. I agree. And yes, her killing whiskey, if we can figure out a way that makes sense for her character, is a really good turn. And then, yes, because you're right that the absolute final we're fucked moment is seeing whiskey get off the gate in heaven.
Yeah.
And then
you're kind of Miss Wonderful's walking around all of them in their cots or whatever, being like, well, you fools. And you're like, well, they're screwed. Like, they're not gonna make it. It's like the Matrix. She's just pulling the plugs one by one or whatever.
Take a look at Switch.
Nothing really happens to them because, like, obviously they don't get pulled out. They just like, oh, I feel a little bit more permanent. Like I'm actually dead. I'm definitely staying here forever. Let's just think about this then. What's the next moment?
All right. So
how do we get into this heist? How does Ocean's 11 get into their heist?
Probably with a kick and chicken montage.
Yeah,
you know,
probably like a
heist movies are basically half montage, man. All right, so the last thing we saw was the van zooming down the road, a rain-soaked Freddy weeping before the blazing inferno. Yeah. There's nothing like a big fire to do a cool crossfade, right?
It's true.
You could
true.
Crossfade to the burning embers of a cigarette, mm-hmm. and then that being like, all right, boys and girls, it's time to do this thing, and then, you know, they all go under.
You know who we haven't introduced yet?
Who?
You could also crossfade.
Wait, it's page 95. Who the fuck are you talking about introducing to this movie, Matt? We have characters we have strewn to the wayside. Like, what the hell happened with Jin's mom or with the traffic cop lady?
We've never had to introduce him because he's been a presence all along. You could also crossfade the fires of hell itself and cut to the devil. And he goes, my, somebody betrayed their brother. The most delicious meal of them all. Tell me, demons. Who is this man?
Someone betrayed a monk.
Who on earth just did this ghastly deed? And how do we bring them to my domain? You're like, holy shit, they're introducing the devil at this point? So I have nowhere to go with that. It would just be very fun.
Just a cool cigarette-smoking, bass-playing jazz man devil. By the way, this is a complete derail, but I'm going to put it out there for our social distancing audience as a cool YouTube video to check out. Have you guys ever seen the Three Little Pigs Looney Tunes where it's like three jazz pigs?
Oh, yeah.
Coolest cartoon of all time.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll never make anything as cool as that.
I mean, that was why I wanted to become a jazz musician as a kid.
Really?
It was like the Big Bad Wolf in that fucking short. Like, that was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
And watching old school Looney Tunes is a pretty good thing to do while you're isolating yourself. Fucking old school Looney Tunes is the shit.
What were we talking about before we got distracted?
I brought up that we introduced
the devil. The devil shows
anyways,
up. Matt, you know I'm a sucker for a crazy, stupid idea.
That's God. Just constantly pushing the ball.
Now, is it Western devil?
Did you do that like, well, who's the guy? All
well,
right,
the devil
see.
Is not God. We've introduced angels, and therefore, in our world, we've already introduced the logic
like
of the devil.
Like a
Judeo-Christian. Because the devil is just a fallen angel. Of course, I'm talking about Christianity.
Yeah, we are mixing them a little
bit. We are
bit,
mixing quite a bit
because
we've added angels and TS angels into, again, it's our own depiction of the afterlife.
We could pull a Chinese deity to be like our guy.
I want Tim Curry from Legend dancing sexy.
Okay,
it's
so
just, here's all that might be a little bit tough is that the pantheon of gods is very similar to, you know, sort of the Greek and Roman group, and mm-hmm. it's like you have your trickster gods, but I don't think you have like just such a clear, as we understand in modern times, Satan. Obviously, that understanding of Satan has shifted over history as well. I don't know. Okay.
No,
okay.
We don't need it.
If you were going to make it someone, you could make it Yama.
Yeah, that's true.
The king of hell, okay. Who's said to judge the dead and preside over
the
hell
realms.
Yeah,
that would probably be the closest. Yeah.
And you would do, so in the Pali Canon, and this is Buddhism, not Taoism, but again, we're pretty, seeing how we're playing it pretty fast and loose with the actual rules
very
of the
fast,
afterlife.
Very loose.
In the Pali Canon, the Buddha states that a person who has ill-treated their parents, ascetics, holy persons, or elders is taken upon his death to Yama. Yama then asks the ignoble person if he ever considered his own ill conduct in light of birth, deterioration, sickness, worldly retribution, and death. In response to Yama's question, such an ignoble person repeatedly answers that he failed to consider the karmic consequences of his reprehensible actions and is, as a result, is sent to a brutal hell so long as that evil action has not exhausted its result.
Hmm.
That's about right.
Sure sounds like that's something.
That sounds like they're definitely going to
look,
have
it's
a
only
face
worth,
to face.
It's only
guy.
Worth introducing Yama if you can find a dramatic reason, like what Yama will do.
So to me, if you were going to do that, you know what you never see in stories? You always see Deus Ex Machina used to like fucking bail the main character out. Like that's what it means in this sort of way. You never see Deus Ex Machina just have God show up and arbitrarily fuck your main characters over. If you were going to do that, it would be that Yama is like aware because again, like we saw earlier that, you know, like one of the big sins was like, you know, creating a schism in the Buddhist mm-hmm. community of monks, right? Mm-hmm. So Jin has betrayed his brother, one of the holiest Taoist monks in the land, right? So you would do word of this gets to Yama. Yama's fucking pissed. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to dip a finger into the earthly realm and I'm going to fuck these guys over with a little bit of karma, right? He rolls the karma bones on them, right? Like, then you see like a crazy series of coincidences where now Miss Wonderful hips to their plan and is going to kill
Whiskey. Yes, I was going to say, he tells Miss Wonderful, okay, I know how you introduce Yama, by the way. You not only do this dissolve, but you do this man gets pulled.
I'm so pumped! This movie's breaking all the rules!
This man gets pulled in with, you know, handcuffs on, and they toss him in front. They're like, why do you bore me with this mortal? He already has... And he's like, sir, we found some contraband. And they pull it out, and it's dumplings. And they're like...
Oh, it's the dad!
You introduce that the way they get hip to this is contraband dumplings are sent out to hell. And they're like, where the fuck did he get these delicious dumplings? They don't belong in this in this hell world.
In this plane of torment.
Yes, and then he takes a bite from them, and his eyes go like Ratatouille style, and somehow he sees all of Jin's sins and deeds. Like, he experiences like everything that's happened in the movie so far. He's like, well, I don't know.
So we're saying that grandma fucked Jin over by doing this?
Well, she didn't know what was going on. She was just trying to get to the grandpa's.
You know what you do? The way you don't make it grandma's fault is that grandpa was selling the donuts for a thousand years off his sentence. He's been bribing people with them. He ate one, and he's like, these are fucking legit.
He's been selling
the rest of them, and it's like, you've learned nothing.
I just like the callback too. My first thought was that literally a dumpling hits him on the head. That's too dumb.
All right. Let's steer into the curve. Let's embrace the madness. I don't want to look back on my life and be like, I didn't have the guts to introduce the god of the underworld.
This is also
95 pages into my script.
It's also the easiest thing to cut out if we're like, that was why did we introduce him? It really, like, enhances the cosmic scale of everything that's going on, like, right before the heights is about to happen. It's like, to clarify, it's like, no, this is hell. Like, this is where their punishment will lie
if they
go there. And this is Yama, and he is going to take their souls.
Yeah, so basically, after you get dumped into hell, you see Yama. And Yama's like, do you feel bad about what you did? Are you a shitty person? And then no matter what you say, he sends you depending on what you say, this is something that's like, okay, so like, yes, you get sorted into hell, and then Yama decides what your punishment is going to be.
Yes.
Our world, our interpretation of this, right? And he's like, all right, well, you're gonna have to burn off that karma until again, like your shitty actions. I like that idea too, of like that it's like, as long as your shitty actions are still having consequences in the world, is how long you'll, you know, and then it's like,
which if you believe in the cycles of abuse and stuff, that could be forever.
And it's like, hey, I hate to break it to you, but your brother's hospital got burned down. Think of all the people that were gonna get helped at that hospital.
Yep,
now they're not gonna get help. Now, all this stuff, it's like, that's gonna keep going on for a while, you know.
Yep.
All right, so that's all very good. That's all very good. So I like that he gets steamed. How does he hip to what's going on? Like,
maybe
how does he?
I'm trying to think. Like, what's the way to portray him? Is he like a bored devil? He's like, oh, people are just not as bad as they used to be, which makes no sense. And then he finds out with Jin, he's like, ooh, finally, the worst man on planet Earth betraying his brother like this? This is going to be a delicious soul to consume.
I'll judge these pedophiles later.
We see so many of these nowadays. I really want something unique, something new.
I'm also like, does he just call Miss Wonderful? How does he? I guess he can do his own kind of.
She gets a phone call, and then it's like a voice on the other line that you cut to Yama, and he's just on the phone too. He's just like, Jin.
Oh, shit. Hear me out.
Okay.
Fucking Freddy, you ready for this? He's like, I want to catch these guys, right? And I want to make sure they don't slip out of our grasp again. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, why don't you just, like, you know, tell heaven what's going on? I was like, those idiots? No, they'll blow the whole thing. And then they'll get spooked, and I'm going to get a hold of this guy for 50 years, right? Like, he's figuring, like, the...
these souls are his. They didn't actually get into heaven.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, he's like, because he could be like, why don't you just tell the heaven police and they'll catch them? He's like, they've been making fools of the heaven police this whole time.
Yeah.
He's like, we need to be smarter about this. And he taps in Chinese trickster god Sun Wukong, the Monkey King. And he sends Sun Wukong down to Earth to fucking make mischief and cause Miss Wonderful to kill Whiskey.
Yes. He needs them to fail their heist so they get caught so they go to hell. Because
Sun Wukong
furious.
Does end up in
he's
heaven.
Owned, he's,
well, he's in heaven, though.
Huh?
Sun Wukong gets to go to heaven after he helps the scriptures and all that
stuff. Well, all the better then. He'll be a cool character that turns in the end to be a good guy or something.
I just Googled Chinese trickster god. That's how I got to where
also, this is like the prequel that's before true. He does the good stuff.
He does the good stuff in the fifth.
This is the prequel to the story Matt and I are wildly unfamiliar with.
This is a cool story. You would enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really cool. But so
it happened in like the 1100s.
Okay, so
it's
he's
like
in
so
heaven
old.
Right now. So he's not a devil,
they,
right? Now.
Basically, after he manages to get the scriptures back, they reward him by giving him.
But I saw the new Stephen Chow movie, yeah. And the monkey character was definitely the bad guy in that movie.
Hear me out.
Like
Hear
he fights out. Him at the end, and the monkey makes a giant fist the size of like an asteroid and throws it at Stephen Chow. Actually, it's not Stephen Chow's in that movie. That's Journey to the West.
Here's what you could do. Hear me out. You could do that Sun Wukong. So this is, by the way, the character, the Monkey King from the story Journey to the West, for those of you who don't know.
Like us.
The people who are barely familiar with it. You could do that Sun Wukong is in heaven. This canonically takes place after the Journey to the West. But, you know, this is, you're the king of hell. You're Yama. If you call Sun Wukong up and you're like, hey, can you help me out with a little cool Earth mission? Yeah, maybe he helps you out.
Also, what he's doing is a good thing because, again...
This is a noble mission, right?
Because, yeah, these are seven hell-bound souls that should have been in hell that are tricking or fine.
That are making a mockery of the whole celestial system. Freddy's unconvinced.
No, I think it works. It is. We are just stretching at the edges of everything.
We don't have to use him. It does seem fun, though.
I'm just thinking, like, it just feels like it's just throwing a bunch of characters in where it's like, it's just to kind of point Miss Wonderful in the direction of... Whiskey.
Yeah, we probably don't need another because also we've set up these TSA angels. Like, I'd rather them be like taking them down and stuff.
Shut up, Matt and Freddy. Fucking guys ruining my buzz.
No, I'm not against it either.
No. I think that's fair. I think you could maybe get away with Yama. I don't know if you can fucking do.
Also, it feels like it dilutes Yama right away. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
He's like, I'm the Lord of Hell. I can't fix it. Let me call this other guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so in that case, all right, if you're going to introduce him and he's going to throw a wrench in the... I mean, like, it's also... We have so many wrenches already in the works. It feels like we should be able to...
Do we need Yama?
At this
or
point,
am
this
just,
machine... Like we're adding... This, we're this doing machine, calculus to solve an algebra problem.
This machine's more wrenches than gears at this point.
This was like the Gremlins 2 sketch. You said fire and fire, and I went, fire, hell, we should introduce
the
devil.
It's in the movie,
We don't have to do introducing the deep end. The only reason to do it, if you want to heighten the stakes in terms of really clarifying like where they're going to go and what awaits them in hell, and then personify what hell is, and then make hell an obstacle that is actually like pulling them in rather than just like a thing that will happen.
Yes.
And if that's not really worth it, then yeah, we shouldn't do it. But like if that's fun to do, then
I think we should do it. I think we should do Yama. I like it. For that reason, I like that it turns up the heat on the stakes. It gives more import to what Jin just did,
mm-hmm.
right? That Jin... You know,
the devil noticed this.
Yes, like the devil gets a notification when like an especially bad deed is committed on Earth. Yeah. Right? He's like, "What the heck is this?"
Yes,
he just gets like a text message. It's like an Amber Alert.
I mean, what he did was
he gets an Amber Alert, but instead of like, well, he gets all the Amber Alerts because those are bad deeds too. But he also gets additional Amber Alerts for other bad deeds.
He gets the Amber Alerts, and he's like, "Good." That's horrible.
Well, it's the devil.
He's not the devil. Yama's not evil. That's it. He's not. He's just the judge. Do you know what I mean?
You're right.
That's true.
Judge Judy's not sitting here going, good.
Although that's a better show. You know what I'm saying? I watch the shit out of that.
Judge Judy, and then it's like, just like they're like, hey, this guy ripped me off for $50. Good.
Yes, my man. Whoa, hold on, Judge. You're gonna be impartial? Maybe. Ooh, Judge Judy's a real wild card. Dang, the bailiff might. Dude, did you see the last episode where the bailiff just shot a guy? And he shot the guy who won.
Judge Judy just cheered him.
Yeah.
And gave him a raise.
He gave him a raise.
Weird.
And then just like cut to his house.
Like, man, weird. Judge Judy's getting boring. Every episode, she just breaks a pool cue in half and gives it to the two guys.
Okay.
Judge Judy, the octagon. Hey, coming to College Humor near you, Judge Joker. It's the Judge Judy, but with the Joker. And he's the judge now, and he's doing his dark clown Prince of Crime stuff.
Oh, boy.
What I was going to say was, we don't need to gloss over what Jin did in terms of like, yeah, I mean, it's funny to like, obviously he's not like a pedophile, but at the same time, what he did is objectively pretty spectacularly bad.
Okay.
Because what he did was, in order to steal money from heaven, his kind brother who reached out to him, he burnt down a hospital. Let's be clear. Patients were probably in there.
Hear me out. This is the gag that sells me on it, is that you do when he watches in this montage with the dumpling, we see the six-story motorcycle jump from the other side. You know, like how Jin just kind of flies over the side
now? Yeah.
Like, and then you just do the most badass stunt of all time, but just as like part of this like sort of like throwaway montage as he's doing this fucking thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fun gag.
I thought that was, I don't know, I thought that was funnier in my head.
It's very good. I like watching this all from like this omniscient view that he
So what?
It's just like, oh, they did shoot it multiple times, but
it's just like the idea that like you did like the craziest motorcycle stunt of all time, and then like the way you show it, it's like a dirty over on Yama's shoulder as he's like watching it on a tiny screen.
And then it's like this weird tangent where he's like, look at it though. Like, he actually did this because, like, look, the camera angle never cuts. Like, it is like the camera's here and we're following this guy. Where do they hide it? Where do they hide the guy?
So
he gets the news.
He gets the news.
And he's like, these people need to be judged. They're getting away with
this. So, no, but I liked what we said about the dumplings.
Yeah. Yes. That's how he finds out.
Yeah, so he eats the dumpling. He's like, holy shit.
I taste betrayal.
And then he needs to do something. Is he just calm as wonderful? Does he come to her in a vision?
I think his motivation is like, these souls need to come here. And he can't interfere with heaven. That could be like part of the rules. Like, he's not allowed to interfere with heaven.
Oh, yeah, it's impartiality.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So he's like, I need somebody on the earth side, you know, a good friend of mine, because this wonderful is so evil. I know y'all was not evil, but somebody who I know quite well.
But does she like, because she doesn't know, does he, all right, here's.
No, she doesn't know him. Like, he,
by the
she
way, is you
like,
know that's you, what I'm saying. Whether way, it's Sun Wukong or someone else,
you know how you immediately just can just completely hand wave this visually? Uh-huh. And you'd be like, I need someone on the earth side, and you pan out and you reveal that he's also sitting on a throne of naked dudes. And you're like, oh, I get it. They're whatever.
Call my furniture dealer. It's wonderful.
But that's what I was going to say. Is it's not, maybe it's not Sun Wukong. He has like minions like Rita Repulsa and Power Rangers, mm-hmm. and he sends one of them up to Earth to go mess up their plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Couldn't you do that? And that's like a shape-shifting trickster god or something like that?
I feel like the best thing to do is for him to manipulate Earth or do something, whether it's a person or, again, a goofy like... You know, he breaks down Miss Wonderful's car, which sends her someplace. It feels like Miss Wonderful should be brought, like Miss Wonderful should be the thing he sends to them.
Yes.
Again, he's not allowed to like purposely get people to come to his dominion or whatever it is. So, you know, the earth is, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. You want him to be clever.
Yeah.
But then we have to be clever. I saw this great tweet, by the way, as a Paul Kruger on Twitter. I have written my characters into a tight corner so they can escape it to demonstrate their ingenuity, but I forgot one key detail. That escape is to be written by me, a dumbass. Heaven heist in a nutshell. Okay, so...
We've essentially begun the heist with like, yes, you have this emotional problem, but more or less, everything's set up and ready to go.
Yeah, and then you want to put Chekhov's gun on the table, basically.
And the Chekhov's gun is Yama, a god in hell, has now... learned about this heist and is like, those souls belong to me. Those five assholes up there stealing heaven definitely deserve to be judged by me. I want to get them here.
And the cool thing would be like, it needs to be very clever, unfortunately, would be like, literally like, they're like, but Yama, we can't send any of our agents to Earth. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, what can we send? It would be like, literally he throws a wrench. He just drops a wrench through some portal or something like that. Mm. And then the wrench bounces off the ground. And
how
you're like,
cute.
Dun, dun, dun. How the fuck is this wrench going to fuck them up? Right. And then you kind of go on with the heist. But then when you're cutting back to Earth, you're seeing how this wrench is going to be their undoing.
Bear with me. It could be as simple as, bear with me. Mm-hmm. If let's say he threw a wrench. I don't know. Just using your analogy. It could be anything. But like, let's say he threw a wrench. You cut to Miss Wonderful. She's getting driven by her sexy boys. And all of a sudden a wrench goes through the windshield. And she goes, ah! And they stop the car. She's like, what the fuck was that? They're like, they don't know. And then because she stopped, she sits there like, man, guys, don't you watch the road or whatever it is? And she glances to the right, and she sees Whiskey doing something suspicious and, like, walking somewhere. She's like, hey, isn't that one of Jin's guys? Where the fuck is my money, by the way? What the hell is he doing? He's carrying, like, a bunch of, like, medical equipment. And she's like, hey, why don't you guys follow him? And then that, like, literally tips off the whole thing. Like, something as simple as just she notices, like, Whiskey, and then they follow him to his warehouse. Everybody's in a coma, and she's like, what the fuck are they doing? Mm-hmm. And then that's why she shows up to be like, what the hell's going on, or whatever it is.
But it's going to be something like that
simple in terms of just, like, you could even do, like, where are those guys? They've dropped off the face of this earth. Like, did they run? Like, I bet you they ran. Knowing fucking Jin, I bet you he sent them to all places across the world. Or I'm going to fucking find them.
Yeah,
where's our money or whatever.
Because she's counting her ketamine cash in the car. She's like, I tell you, that was a lot of money. And then, okay, that's not bad. Yeah.
And then it's just like a simple thing. And then literally them be like, follow that guy. We're like, oh, shit. Like,
what the hell is he doing?
Yeah. So what's the suspicious thing he could be doing? He's just carting one of them in a coma, like, through the streets. Why is Jin dead on a gurney? Why is Whiskey pushing him through the streets? What's going on here?
Trouble is afoot.
It just turns into like a Home Alone-esque thing where Whiskey needs to like marionette their unconscious bodies in a silhouette while rock music plays so that Miss Wonderful doesn't assault the fortress. She's like looking at through binoculars like there's some sort of party going on.
They're supposed to be finding my money, but they're just partying. Or maybe they're partying because they've already found my money and they don't plan on giving it to me.
Oh, then we can do like a parody of like a John Woo blood opera that's like our Angels with Filthy Souls, where like he's playing the clips of like Chow Yun Fat being like, if you come any closer, I'll kill all of you.
Okay. So Whiskey's going to have his own fantastic journey.
All right. I like him throwing a wrench. I like the wrench fucking something up. And then, yeah, so that could just do. It's the scene in Pulp Fiction where Whiskey's walking across the street and she's driving the car.
What's fun is, like, then I can see how Whiskey's story can cross-cut with this heist. Is that I feel like this guy follows Whiskey and looks in and sees them all in a coma or, like, on a gurney. And it's like, what the fuck? And Whiskey turns like, who are you? He's like, I gotta tell Miss Wonderful about this. He's like, no, don't do that! And then he slams the door. He's like, oh, shit. And then Whiskey knows Miss Wonderful's coming any moment. He's like, shit, should I pull them out? Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, I'll try to explain it, but I don't think she's gonna believe it.
She just shows up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need, like, that's a whole, like, him freaking out over what to do. It's just she shows up, and then she's like, what the hell is going on?
I was trying to get Freddy's dance party. I was trying to get the Home Alone.
No.
She looks across, like, you said they're all on gurney, but through the silhouettes this one.
What are these silhouettes? They're all dancing.
I'm all right. Don't have to worry about me.
He's like, I guess they could have just been sleeping off a hangover, but they were all in Kearney's with like IV trips.
So you're saying it's like a 7-man weekend at Bernie's is what he's doing.
And Whiskey just straight up dies of exhaustion.
Whiskey just accidentally kills himself. Miss Wonderful doesn't do anything. Yeah, so Whiskey absolutely tricks Miss Wonderful and then accidentally kills himself. It is 1,000 times funnier. Are you sure we should go in there, Miss Wonderful? We'll give them another day. And then she just turns away. We're like, well, this didn't go anywhere. And then Whiskey.
And then
he just has a heart attack.
Shit, that's pretty good.
That's pretty fucking funny.
That's pretty good. And then
he crashes his chest and falls down. Then you cut to heaven. You're like, wait, what just happened? And then Whiskey shows up in heaven. And you're like, Whiskey just died. And now they are indeed screwed. This Rube Goldberg machine that goes nowhere.
What happens with Miss Wonderful? Does she just leave the movie at that point?
Yeah, she's done. there's no complication. Well, I guess when they come back, she's going
to
ask
her.
They don't
come back. They die. They all go to hell.
But they will come back eventually.
So yeah, they never come back. And she's like, I guess, does she come after like the brother? We'll figure that out in a second. I mean, either way, they're all going to die. Miss Wonderful getting tricked by marionettes by Whiskey. What I like about that is I like that Whiskey does something practical.
Yeah.
He's smart enough to know there's a problem because Miss Wonderful's goons just came in and were like, we're going to tell her about this. Yeah. And now he knows Miss Wonderful's going to show up and he has no explanation for what they're going to do. And he's pretty terrified that she's going to kill them or whatever it is. So then he puts on a marionette show that actually works. And you're like, I guess he
way,
did it.
And by the way,
but
he's like,
Whiskey dies.
He's like injecting himself with stimulants. He's like, just a little more for Papa. Just enough. He hasn't been able to sleep. He's also studying for his medical exam.
You could do that. Danger he's juicing crunch. Himself because he's freaking out. And he's like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? There's too much to do and not enough time. And he just juices with adrenaline. And he goes into like Whiskey Drive. And then he's zooming around.
He dies of exhaustion or it's like some, you know, some accident. Like, you know, he turns around and slips.
Him dying of exhaustion is the best.
Okay, yeah.
It's like a direct result of what he did as opposed to just something dumb happened.
Yes,
because there's nothing dumb about this.
I would set this up that Whiskey's not been able to sleep because he's responsible for all their lives.
Gone off the rails. Like,
This was already an off the rails idea, but like for people who have been listening from the beginning, I hope you've been entertained by just how off the rails.
You gotta get all the sillies out in the first draft.
I charted this all back to Whoopsie the Piss Whale.
Yeah.
Is I think the moment where
we
realized the only way to get through a first draft on a podcast without having a nervous breakdown was to just run with this first stupid idea. Because
our instincts are the sillies.
All right.
And then we got to get all the sillies out in this first draft.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. We're like, we're not making this. It's like, we're going to do a fucking serious John Woo blood opera set in heaven. It's going to be so dope. Our agents are going to be like, don't write it. Then we're going to write it. They're like, we're going to fucking get you guys $200 million for this right away. And then 5 weeks in, we're like, Whoopsie the Piss Whale shows up. and then we're like, oh, this is why.
They knew better than we did.
This is why we're not doing Marvel movies. That's our first instinct.
All right. So, yes. So, for this scene, what we're writing today,
yeah.
Let's see if I get this right.
Yes.
We're going to write Yama's scene. All right. So, we're going to introduce Yama.
Yama
sends a movie talker to hell.
I like that a place is full, and then somebody who just does a simple crime is sent to
like a way worse. Like, he's going to get sent to like the
dictator zone's pretty empty. There's only like 20 of them. So, I guess he'll go with them.
Okay. So, yes.
And then, yes, they throw somebody. He's like, why do you waste? I've already judged this person. Why are you wasting my time? And it's like, he has contraband, sir.
So, yes. And then it's Jin's grandpa.
Yes.
And Jin's grandpa has been selling dumplings to the other people in the, let's say, hell of the mountain of ice or the hell of cauldrons or something like that.
He only has four dumplings and he ate one, so like a bite is like 1,000 years off his sentence or something, and like a mere sniff of a dumpling is like 20 packs of cigarettes or whatever the currency is in hell. I don't know what people are trading
for. So two guards bring him up for judgment and he's like, where did you get these dumplings?
Yeah,
I think it's less that this is forbidden to get care packages from heaven, because there's a big well in heaven where they throw stuff down, right? So like, I think it would be more the sin of selling it. It's like, what it's like, it's like your wife, you know, did this or whatever. So it's like, well, yes, if you can't appreciate them, perhaps I can. And then he eats it, right? Just thinking this will be a suitable punishment. Yes. And then his eyes bulge wide as he realizes, and we do a quick flash, he sees the entire history of how that dumpling
there's so much emotion, there's so much family history in these dumplings. Oh, he takes another bite. He's like, so much life lived.
Well, yeah, so he basically sees the whole movie.
Yes.
It's like, I just watched a cool-ass movie called Heaven Heist, but backwards, like Memento.
And then somehow he even sees some of the future parts that weren't in the dumplings when the dumplings were made, but he sees the hotel get burned too.
Oh, yeah, because it just connects him to the karmic chain.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he realizes what's going on, and then he's like, ooh, these guys are robbing heaven. It's like, we got to warn them. He's like, but sir, we're strictly forbidden, you know, by the rules of how the afterlife works from telling them directly.
I think it's also specifically that those five souls, again, they found a way to break into heaven, so they'll never come back to hell, which
those
is like,
souls belong to me for judgment.
Yes.
Is like, but we were forbidden from interfering in the earthly realms. It's like, I'm not going to interfere. I'm just going to throw a wrench in the works. And he drops a wrench down, and then it goes dun, 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 dun. Like, you know, that shout and fucking Isengard where it's falling through. Like, God. So it does that, and then this wrench lands on the windshield of Miss Wonderful's car.
Yeah.
And they stop the brakes. And she's like, what the hell was that? Watch out for falling wrenches. What's wrong with you? And then she looks and sees Whiskey.
Like, you do that shot where it's very clear, like the Pearl Harbor shot, where like it's gonna hit the windshield of Miss Wonderful's car. But then that 747 drives by and the wrench goes into the engine and explodes. And the 747 is just careening into the sky. And then the driver's like, holy shit, is that airplane crashing? And then as he's watching this airplane crash, he accidentally hits something.
Or no, here's what it is. The airplane goes, and then it like literally just points towards like the floor Whiskey's on, and you see Whiskey. And like, oh, it's Miss Wonderful.
No, the idea that he's watching, he's like, pay attention, you asshole. You're going to watch a plane crash on the news. And then he rear ends the guy in front of him. He's like, oh, man.
Well, if you were going to do that, the person they rear end is Whiskey.
Oh, that's
and then the trunk pops open, and there's a ton of medical supplies in there, and he sticks his head out and sees them, and then he just peels out. And she's like, tail him.
Yeah. And by the way, you cut to the 737 and then it goes, and it goes fine. It's like, don't worry. The 737 is designed to be able to fly on just one engine, folks. So we'll be all right. We're just going
to
be making an emergency landing, but we'll be fine.
Yama,
everyone here is safe.
No, you definitely need to cut to heaven. There's all these people on the 737. Like, man, they're all in line. Like, just a wrench came out.
I don't know. I don't feel like Yama should kill a whole plane full of people.
No, it should be that the engine explodes, but then it cuts to the pilot who's like, this is fine. this is fine. Planes are designed to be able to fly with only one engine.
All right.
It does feel like neuter the slow down the momentum of what anyway, Matt's talking about.
Anyway.
That's a later thing.
That's a later thing. We'll cut back later. No, because that's bullshit. That's like when Batman kills 47 people and then like the show continues and then they cut back and they're like, we all fell in a net. It's like, no, he threw you all off the building. You don't cut after the fact. Like, never mind. They didn't die. This isn't a fucking kids movie, Freddy. This is a rated G. There's a lot of talking pigeons
here's
in
what,
here.
Here's how
that airplane blows up.
I got it. You do the plane explodes and then it starts careening and she's like, watch where you're going. I love you. You can watch plane crashes on the news. It's the most insane line. She rear ends Whiskey. The thing pops open. They see all the medical supplies. He like looks at them and then peels out. Right.
Yeah.
And now they're like, fucking follow him. What the hell is he doing? Why did he run away from us? You do later on the news. They're like, it's like hero pilot lands plane in Kowloon Bay. And he's like saluting on the news.
Yeah. And then the driver's like, man.
There you do. We'll throw that
all right,
in.
All right, fine. We'll throw that in. That's fine. That's fine. We don't want people to die, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels weird for some reason.
No, here's why. This is, again, get really specific. He says he won't interfere. Yes, I buy him not interfering with him doing this weird chain of events that just people are fine.
It's fine. The other thing you do is, like, he rear ends, and she's like, you idiot, you rear ended that car. And then he looks like, oh, man, the plane didn't even crash anyways. And you see the plane, like, ride itself and fly off. So it's like this guy.
That's funnier. That's funny. He's like, oh man, the plane
like slaps his head. She's like, look, the plane didn't even crash anyways.
Pay attention.
And then they notice Whiskey.
Yeah. The plane just like pulls up and continues. You've never seen that. You've never seen an engine of a plane explode. And you're like, beep, 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 boop, boop.
And you get out and you apologize to that person you rear-ended. You give them our insurance. And we'll see if you drive tomorrow. And then the guy goes to get out and his Whiskey. He's like, wait a second, is that Whiskey? She get back in the car. You got following. You got following. Whiskey.
Oh, so that's great. Because then Whiskey goes, and then stomps the gas and rear ends them. And that's when the trunk pops up.
Yes.
And then they see the medical supplies. They're like, bye. I got to go.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
That's very good.
All right.
All that come into your ear holes after the break.
Yep.
Exterior. Hell. Night. An ocean of flames surrounds the floating court of Yama, the king of hell, a huge-ass god with four arms, protruding fangs, and the complexion of a storm cloud. He wears a wrathful expression and holds a noose and sword as he sits atop a water buffalo.
And finally, for the crime of writing one of those stupid jokes into your quirky TV show where someone goes to hell for talking during a movie, I, Yama, a.k.a. Yanluo, a.k.a. Yima, a.k.a. King Yan, ruler of the many hells, and decider of such things, sentence you to 3 quadrillion years in the hell of eternally pitching your TV pilot around town and never hearing back from anyone.
A smug screenwriter stands before Yama in a pinstripe blazer worn over a French tucked faux vintage t-shirt, blue jeans, and Converse sneakers.
You call that hell? Sounds like a Wednesday to me.
Okay, fuck it. You're getting disemboweled.
Yama.
No!
Yama flicks the screenwriter with his giant finger and he goes hurtling off into the yawning abyss of flames.
Next.
Lord Yama, a moment. Yama's goons, Oxhead, a buff dude with the head of an ox, and Horseface, a buff dude with the head of a horse, approach, dragging a weary prisoner in a ragged loincloth. They toss the prisoner at Yama's feet. This ne'er-do-well was caught bribing his coal-shoving demons into letting him wipe his butt with an ice cube.
Bribery? What could this miserable wretch possibly offer his... Ooh, my, those do look delicious.
Horseface and Oxhead present Yama with the prisoner's contraband, a pile of delicious dumplings. The prisoner looks up at Yama. Behind his mangy beard and dirty hair, we recognize the devil-may-care smile of Grandpa, Graham's deadbeat husband. He tries to work his charm on Yama with a sort of Rodney Dangerfield, sweaty, used car salesman kind of vibe.
They're all yours, Lord Yama. My old ball and chain sent them to me. She's a miserable cow, but damn if she ain't best chef in the afterlife. Maybe in return you could cut a few years off my bit.
Oh, I'll cut something off your bits. But first, Daddy want a taste.
Yama shoots a dumpling into his mouth, and suddenly his eyes shoot wide in surprise. Cut to a vivid flashback of the karmic chain of events that led to the dumpling's creation flow through his god brain. Basically, the entire movie plays on super fast forward. Images of Jin and the crew sneaking into heaven, cooking their dumplings, plotting their heist flicker in front of him. We see Jin bonding with and then betraying his brother and watching the hospital burn in the night. Anton Ego, at a young age of 6, holds its skinned knee while his mother cooks ratatouille in the kitchen. End flashback. Yama slaps his cheeks in astonishment like Kevin in Home Alone.
Yama Mia! A crew of crooks is trying to heist heaven itself.
He glares down at Grandpa.
That's some grandkid you got, Buster, stabbing his own brother in the back. Ooh, I can't wait to get my hands on him.
I'll alert the heaven authorities at once, sir.
Forget it. Those losers couldn't even keep him out in the first place. No, those souls belong to me.
But, sir, as impartial judge of the dead, you are forbidden from meddling in the affairs of the living. Yama clutches at his chest in phony who-me outrage.
Meddling? Moi? Of course not. Why, the very idea makes me want to throw this wrench at you. Oops, I missed.
Yama produces a wrench from thin air and blatantly, obviously chucks it way past Bullhead and straight into a shimmering portal a good 10 feet away.
Oh, would you look at that? It fell right through the portal to the mortal realm. Well, nothing to be done about it now. Except wait.
We follow the wrench as it plummets through a swirling infernal vortex. Exterior Hong Kong day. Into the skies above Hong Kong. It drops to the earth, hurtling towards a jet black Mercedes sitting in traffic below. The sunroof opens. We're headed right for it. And then a plane flies past, sucking the wrench into its jet engine, which promptly explodes. Down below, the hunky shirtless driver of the Mercedes looks up at the exploding airplane in awe.
Boss, look! That plane's gonna crash!
Miss Wonderful sits in the middle seat in the back row, flanked by two hunks who hold a newspaper for her. They dip the top of the paper down so she can glare at her driver.
So, you can watch plane crashes on the news. Now move it.
Yes, boss.
The chauffeur steps on the gas and rear-ends the car in front of him, whose driver has gotten out to look at the plummeting plane.
Keep your eyes on the road. Look what you've done.
I'm sorry, boss.
Up in the sky, the plane rights itself as the smoke goes out in its burning engine.
And see? The plane is fine. They've got four engines, you idiot. You wrecked our car for nothing.
I'm sorry, boss.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to... Wait a second.
The driver of the car in front of them is none other than Whiskey. He looks back at the damage to his car, a shitty rusted out hatchback with a bumper sticker that reads, "Veterinarians do it doggy style."
Will, you've had a lot too much fun on this one, I have to say.
I've taken some liberties.
Hey, it's that kid from the currency job.
Whiskey looks back and recognizes them at the same moment. He turns pale in fright and tries to hide his face.
Oh, jeez. Is he... hiding from us?
Whiskey hurries back into his car, turns it on, and stomps on the gas. The car lurches in reverse and rear-ends the Mercedes. The trunk pops open, revealing boxes of medical equipment.
Those are medical supplies.
We hear Whiskey's muffled voice through the window.
Oh, crap.
Whiskey shifts back into drive and peels off down the road.
Hail him.
With pleasure.
He eases on the gas and slips into traffic behind Whiskey. Interior, Whiskey's car, day. Whiskey sighs with relief and wipes sweat from his brow, somehow unaware as Miss Wonderful and her goons are blatantly following him. We see the dented Mercedes and its shirtless driver not even a car's length from his bumper.
Phew, I think I lost him. Jin, this is an easy job driving the car.
Nice.
This was the most fun I had typing the scene up after we did the episode. This is a really goofy one, and I'm here for it.
Will, let's make every scene a fun scene for Will.
Let all scenes be this goofy from now on. All right.
I got no problem with that.
I feel like when you see the driver of Miss Wonderful's car, he's using both hands and he's holding a pair of binoculars like a spy, but he's still turning left and right like really fast. It's like, what? But he's like zoomed in.
Yes. Very good.
I'm telling you guys that we are maybe 2 seconds away from just doing a Zucker style, just stupid airplane-esque comedy. And honestly, I think the world is ready.
Dude, I think so too.
I think the world is ready for it. Like, I think like having like the dumb, like fucking, you know what it is? You do see it. But you see it in the edges of kids' animation. There's like gags like the airplane gag in like kids' animation. And that's the only place you see it these days.
It's hard to carry a 90-minute movie with those jokes is the problem.
Well, let's just do what the Zuckers did. Let's just find some really old movie that we can just copy and then just do that the whole time.
Anyways.
You know, maybe we should have been born 40 years ago.
No, Matt. Our time is now and we got to do it.
I truly feel I would have been I feel my period I missed out on was the new Hollywood wave of the 1970s when daring filmmakers like Martin Scorsese were erupting on the scene. I really feel like Heaven Heist really would have fit in right in that milieu.
Like a
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, you know, Apocalypse Now, THX-1138, Heaven Heist, you know. It's all the same thing pretty much.
That's a good one. That's a fun one this week.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Thanks, Will. Good job.
Yes.
I like the creative liberties you took.
Speaking of creative liberties, what other kind of creative liberties are our fans taking with our IP in fan art?
I think our fans have been socially distancing themselves from our podcast because I don't think we got any fan art this week.
Yeah, wash your hands, but don't wash your hands of this podcast and don't wash your hands of our social media, which is at, Will?
Twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, or you can hit us up on Facebook at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
And as you might have noticed, Max Fun Drive got a little pushback this year. Our stalwart commander, Jesse Thorne, decided to push it back for a number of reasons. And they've done some awesome stuff. They did a big donation to Meals on Wheels.
Yes.
Anyway, MaximumFun.org. If you're, by the way, a Max Fun subscriber from previous years, bonus episodes for podcasts are already up. There should be a link in an email that you got. We're a little bit, don't tell Jesse, we're a little bit late. We're finishing up our bonus this week, and it's great. We just did a break of the first pilot episode of Shark Cops and Trucks.
I was so nervous going into the Shark Cops and Trucks episode because it's a rowdy and it gets a little, hey, brace yourselves, guys. This one gets a little political.
It's not for the faint of heart. That's for sure.
It's the rowdiest episode we've ever done.
It's not as rowdy as Duke Nukem, it's pretty fucking rowdy. It's a wild episode. You guys are going to love it. It has bona fide 100% original certified fresh Freddie Wong guitar solo riffs in the episode. Yep. Straight to your podcast ears.
Straight into the board, baby. Through my sick pedal board and into the board. The first ever podcast, maybe not the first ever podcast, to do sick licks live.
Sick live licks in the Shark Cops and Trucks episode. I think you can still become a Maximum Fun member just because the drive isn't going on if you want to take a listen to it.
That's true, but you know, if you want to wait for the drive to start, hey, I don't blame you, but listen, Shark Cops and Trucks is going to be waiting for you.
Yes, absolutely. And in the meantime, guys, just, you know, we'd love to wish you all safety and happiness and peace in this crazy time we're living through right now, you know, from sort of our podcast family to your family.
Yeah, wash your hands, stay off social media, except for our social media. Mixed messages, Will. Mixed messages. We got to work on that. Anyway, that's it for us this week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold. Consider donating to Meals on Wheels if you can.
Yes, absolutely.